are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Okay, we're off into hour number two, and towardanarchy.com, look for August 2nd. If you want to follow along, but I don't want to let this go because this is such an amazing conversation. I have such amazing friends, even my newest ones, that it just works out this way. Just reach out. This is what comes from surrounding yourself with the people that you think will be good and who will compliment you and share your ideas and have value in you and the things that you think about and the things that you do. So it's an amazing conversation that Lindsay and I are having about private property rights. And just before we went into the top of the hour, we were talking about really just the core missed concept. That's what's going on. These people that just don't understand, and it always kind of comes back to economics. They don't get that core idea of economics and human interaction and human action and the things that happen in relation to these ideas of property and the way that it extends across from yourself to the things that you create and own, including your wealth and the currencies that you create and generate either through yourself or through your labor or through your participation in some other activity that produces some other form of exchangeable wealth. Whatever it be, the taxation, the theft, it's an amazing conversation. You were just saying that your husband was pointing out that this was a sort of path of least resistance.
Yeah, he had told me. He was just like, we were having the conversation because I was so frustrated by that post, by so many people not grasping the concept that it is still their choice. And if you still, you know, private property is, it's interpersonal. And that's what I would say is one of the most crucial features of private property. It's not necessarily a relation between an owner and a thing, but between the owner and the other individuals in reference to things. So once you are the owner, you have pretty much the imperium over whatever it is, over other human beings' actions with regards to your things. So if you want to say, I really don't care, you know, tell me that you believe in masks or you don't believe in masks. It's completely irrelevant to the conversation. Do you respect private property rights? If you do, if you believe in private property, you want your things respected and you want to reciprocate that, you know, then you just do it. It's almost like, it's definitely a natural right. But I feel like it should be so obvious because you know what it is? I think we've been so taught, trained, and educated into this slave mind, this slavery mindset that we can't even really think outside of the box anymore when it comes to alternatives. You know, like there are so many things that we could do. People just think it's like a make it or break it. I want to go into the store without a mask and that's, you know, my right. Not really, because it's not your private property. It's your right to not wear a mask outside, you know, and if someone tells you that you should have a mask out in the public where there is no identified private property line, then yeah, I'll help with you. You know, I'll be in that fight with you. But as far as private property, that's a loss. It's just you either respect it or you don't. But I think that we're taught, trained, and educated so well that we can't even think, hey, do you know what? Why don't we create, you know, like a little, a new, look at the opportunities. Let's create a phone app for all of the companies that, you know, support no mask wearing. And then we can rally together. And because that's free market, that's what, you know, an anarchist, a voluntarist, that is what a true free market is. And I think a lot of people even have the misconception that there is a free market in the United States. And just like, no, that's not even. People, you know, I had this one, he was a libertarian. His head almost exploded a couple weeks ago because I said, you know, we are a half socialist and half capitalist economy. He's like, no way, we're a capitalist. Like, no, wait, this isn't, you know, up for debate. This is actually a fact. We are economically known as a mixed economy, which is half socialism and half capitalism. So we don't have, we are regulated out of so much of our opportunity for our lives to create growth, incentivizing each other. And we can't even think. We get so, you know, we feel that entitlement. And I'm going to wear this, but there's just so much, there's so much opportunity. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely do know what you mean, and entitlement is a good word to point out, because I think that that's right. I think that they've learned to be entitled to other people's space, because government for so long has been, I mean, it is what it is. It's force. It's been used to beat up on particularly large public owning, and rightly so sometimes, because they seem to be the ones that get away with, if you look at our tax codes and you look at the way money is supposed to work and the way things were actually written, they're the ones that are supposed to be paying the taxes, not us. It's the corporations that use the public space, that these created commercial entities that use our real space and places and roads to travel on. They're the ones that are supposed to pay the taxes. They're the ones that are supposed to have the driver's licenses. But all of this is obscured by the manipulations and using government in both directions, back and forth, as some sort of weapon to beat the other one up for more money or more access to the other one's property, whether it be their private information over one of these listening devices or whether it be actual access to their property. And this idea that you and I have to convince Walmart that Walmart has to stand up for some particular rights. Well, I don't know if they've been paying attention or not, but Walmart actually isn't forcing anybody to wear a mask. And they have a mask policy, and they have somebody at the door, and they may question you, but they won't stop you. There's been incidences in some places, but I don't think any of those have been Walmart when it comes to the masks. Just this idea that I'm protesting my government by violating somebody else's preferred property rights. It's a weird thing to me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I can't agree with you more. I feel that it's just there's so much emotion around the whole COVID thing, you know, dare I say the word. But people, I mean, I wouldn't say it's conspiracy, because I mean, I really don't know. If we're being completely honest, I really have no idea. But I like to personally, you know, side story, personal side story. My husband didn't think the virus was real in the beginning. Like, he thought it was like some big government thing. And I was just like, babe, listen. And he was coming up with all these excellent points and saying it doesn't even exist, and I think they're using this to control. And this is, I was like, well, listen, this is us, and this is what I'm coming to you with. To be honest, we really don't know what the truth is, and I know that I want to protect myself and you as best as I can. We have a little baby. Well, she's a dog, but she's been going through, you know, like cancer, and she has heart problems. Oh, nice. And so I didn't know if it spread to animals. So I was like, can we just err on the side of caution? Just because that's what we do. We just err on the side of caution. We'll wear a mask. It doesn't, you know, I'm not. And at first he didn't want to, but then he realized that it was interesting that we actually got a different response from other people when we wore a mask. And it's almost like, yeah, I totally see the sheep and how we can go down that dangerous path. But if we're being honest, we're just a bunch of stupid humans who don't know anything. And yes, fear drives us. But the fear is survival. And, you know, I don't want to say that it's right or wrong to wear a mask. My ultimate point is, if a company decides, or if a private property owner decides, yes, I want to make this requirement, regardless of what their intention is or how it's being, if coercion, whatever it is, they're still making the decision to say, okay, this is what I want. So we just respect it. You know what I mean? But I do see how the contention, you know, can build from there, because we don't want government, you know, overreaching, which has already been, you know, like we hear that every single year and every election, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But I digress.
No, it's funny because I went garage sailing, as I'm wont to do. And it was in a nice neighborhood, not to split a city up or anything. It was on the nice side of the tracks, and they only have, you know, just sort of so many of these garage sales every year in some of these richer lakeside communities, things like that. And, you know, they have covenants and agreements and things, voluntary contracts that people sign and still get upset about. But they're having these garage sales, and so I want to go check out the garage sales, try to find me some comic books or some toys. And it's funny watching, you know, most people around here, it's middle America, pretty conservative. Most people around here don't buy the mask thing. There's not that many people wearing them. But it's funny to go into some of these areas in the rich neighborhood like this, where they have sort of an acre or 2 acres or whatever around their space. And it was more than one occasion driving down the road and sort of looking up the long driveway up to their house, where they're all the way up by their garage, almost, you know, just seemingly forever from the road. And they're wearing their mask outside of their own house. And I keep driving. I don't go shop their wares. I don't go onto their property.
Yeah, and I think it seems to be like the easiest and also the most, I don't know, like hidden and what is the word I'm looking for? It's just like the most non-obvious answer to like whatever you decide to do. That's how we operate our lives in every other facet of, you know, our existence. It's, you know, voluntary. If we like something, we do it. If we don't, we don't. I mean, like, and I just want to also say this, because so many people have brought other excellent, you know, points about the mask. And I know some of you guys that are listening are thinking about this. But the mask thing, just to talk on it just really quickly, that I know that the CDC came out and said that the mask isn't going to prevent you from getting or prevent us from getting the virus. It's just slowing the spread. The bell curve is going to be the same. And Larkin Rose actually pointed this out in a video. He said, there isn't going to be a difference between how many people contract this virus. The only difference is how quickly it's going to spread and how quickly we're going to either reach herd immunity or not. And I totally understand with people, you know, like people that bring up those points, because I think they're excellent points. But in the same instance, I know that in the beginning of the COVID thing, I had, you know, compromised immune system because I had like this really bad tooth infection and I was on medication. I know I was doing everything that I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I was also out. I was doing, what is it called? The essential worker. So I was out there every day for 8 to 12 hours. I've never gotten sick, and neither has my husband, and he was out there with me as well, you know, because
so
our job, we...
check this out. Yeah. You mentioned that. So it's documented on my show that I was sick months ago. This is back before they started talking about it. It was early in the year, late February, early March, before it really hit America. I mean, we know that it's been here longer than that. We obviously know that now, but at the time, it was just starting to break. We weren't in lockdown and stuff like that. That was all just beginning. And this is what happened to me. I had a headache for 2 days. It was just an extended headache. Could have been a caffeine thing. I'm a caffeine drinker, so it could have been just that. And I felt a little bit that it was. To the point that if I was not sick afterward, chest cold for a month, I would not have known that was where I was sick. And exactly two weeks later, it hit me again, just a little bit lighter. And then like the next week, that's when they started saying, oh, well, it'll come back and hit you again about 2 weeks after. So part of the reason that I've been going around without a mask is because I believe I've already had it a long time ago and that I don't have anything to worry about necessarily. Not just that I understand the science that it's more important that people wash their hands and that frankly outside of a hospital environment where they're constantly cleaning their hands, constantly sanitizing, it really will not change exactly what you're saying. The real bell curve, and I've encouraged people when I talk about vaccines, we're on the precipice of being forced to be to have to take a vaccine to be able to access public places or private places where they have chosen to accept that the science or whatever the mandate is right, that they want to follow it. And as an anarchist, I'm in no more position to decide for a person to be a slave than I am for them to not be a slave. That if they want their slavery, if they want to follow the rules that are set forth for them, I really don't have, it's not in my place to remove their government even. That's not my position as an anarchist. The only position I can hold as an anarchist is to respect everybody in their individual choices, and God help them if they don't respect mine.
It's so true. It's so refreshing to hear you say that because it's absolutely true. I can't even, I'm just so happy to hear you say that because it's true. You know, people talk about, you know, when we get into the conversation of anarchy, they'll say, well, you know, are you an anarcho-cap or, you know, an anarcho-capitalist or an anarcho-communist? I was like, listen, I don't care about the first part and the most important part, the primary part is anarchy. You believe in doing whatever you believe in, the sovereignty of every individual. So if there's a group of people, there's a little community who want to create a little socialist community, then let them do it. But know that on the larger scale, they won't be threatened by any type of, you know, coercion backed by the threat of violent force if they choose to leave and maybe go to a little community down the road that's operating a lot better, that happens to be a capitalist or a free market community or whatever. So people like to say, well, under anarchy, you know, socialism is going to happen and come. Yeah, everything's going to happen. But that's the beauty of it, because just imagine how many different small micro like economies that we're going to create to figure out what works and what runs the best. And, you know, it's what we're comfortable with. You know, some people, one of my biggest responses when I'm talking to statists, because I was a statist and I had a very long history of actually being a part of the political process before I, you know, decided, yeah, that there was just too much garbage. I had to resign and get out of it. But usually talking to state, they'll be like, well, I pay my taxes voluntarily. I want to pay my taxes. Well, that's good for you. And if you want to, the same structure would absolutely exist if we, you know, allowed anarchy to happen tomorrow, except the only difference is I would be able to withdraw without having the threat of violent force used against me and my family, or threaten my business to be shut down or anything like that. And you would still be able to, but it would just become private. It would be private. Yes, you want to have a fire department, or you want to have a library, or you want these things. It becomes better because then the competition arises. There's more accountability. There's more incentivization. And I just, it's so crazy to me when I think like of so much opportunity that we're missing out on. And I would love to hear your opinion about this. My husband had brought up this this video to me the other day, and he's like, Lindsay, I want you to just watch this and tell me what you think about this. And it was all about China, specifically, you know, the area of like Pudong, China, how they have grown economically in the last 22 years that took this, in the same instance, it took the United States 80 years and Great Britain 120 years to get to that same point. I mean, like 22 years, Pudong, China was a flatland, and now it's one of the technologically advanced cities in the world. And they're, you know, China's putting out the most millionaires, and, you know, they're, there's just so much to talk about. I'd love to hear your opinion. I know.
That's great. No, you're wonderful. It's been such a pleasure. Listen, we got to go into a break, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap this up. And I got to tell you, I sure hope that you've got plans for a blog or your own show or something, because people need to hear you. We'll be right back. We're talking to Lindsay Thomas on Toward Anarchy.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I got to remember that that's just a music bed and it's not going to keep playing forever, because I could just sit here and listen. And listen, that's so great. Mike is the man. He made it so all that stuff is playing again, all that music. I put, like, you should never hear the same beds really for about 3 weeks from the shows that we do. And so it's great to hear all that. You pick something. There was something wrong in the system. Technology get in the way every time. Towardanarchy.com, if you want to follow along, this is where the archive itself will be, whether you're listening on CastBox or iHeartRadio in the future. Right now, I'm live. August 2nd is what you'd be looking for in the archive. You will find that I've been speaking with Lindsay Thomas, and there's some links and things that I shared up there for you. As always, this conversation that we had has been amazing. It's unfortunate that it must come to an end, but as always, I just keep my guests for an hour. I say, let me have an hour of your time, and then I let them go. In this case, as in many cases, but extra special in this case. I must insist that I take more of your time and that you come back again and be on the show. And that, and I, as I was saying before I went in the break, I hope that you are working on a blog or something. I hope that this is something that's churning around in your head, because you get it. And that's obvious to me. And I think we need more people that just get it, because it's okay to just get it. It's you don't have to have an education in every single aspect of reality to just get it. You can have a fundamental principle starting point in your reality and apply that to everything across your existence, and it will never lead you in the wrong direction when it comes to respecting other individuals and their private property. Am I wrong?
It was beautifully said. Absolutely beautifully said. I don't think that it could be said any. I mean, like, there is, even if you look with scientific eyes, they talk about how there is uncertainty in science. We don't know. We don't. This is an accumulation of knowledge that we gain and we share together. And there's a lot of us that, I mean, like, there's so much that I admit that I don't know. But when we respect the basic principles of each other, it gives us so much more opportunity to learn and understand. I keep mentioning my husband. You can tell he's obviously a big part of my life, but he taught me, it was a book he read, but he said to me, you know, when you're trying to have a conversation with someone, seek first to understand and then be understood if you're finding that there isn't, you can't, you know, get to that common ground. And that's helped me so much. Because I'm able to figure out what people are understanding and then help them think through it. And I really appreciate everything that you're doing. Him and I, we could be on here talking for hours, but, yes, I tried to do the blog thing a couple times, the podcast, and I failed, and we realized that, we have to change us. It has to be the house first. We have to change our house. So a few years ago, I actually decided that I was going to, you know, create a community, a voluntarist community, and I got a bunch of people together. Well, we got ourselves together, and we bought some land. Long story short, it didn't work out. We're still all great friends, and it was such a beautiful failure because we learned so much, and it was such a peaceful failure, but we're going to try again, and I really want to implement. I want to be able to show people, I think, because when you can actually show people what is possible instead of, you know, always just talking, I think it's much more powerful. And, you know, one quick example of that, and then, you know, I'll give the mic back. But one quick example is just something so simple. You know, my our poor dog, you know, paw, what do they call them? Like paw kids, right? She's a dog who had gotten cancer, and she had cancer 3 or 4 times. And she had a mast cell tumor, confirmed aspirate was done, and it was a mast cell tumor on her abdomen. I was freaking out. We didn't know. What are we going to do? We ended up going underground and getting FECO, full extract cannabis oil, and we did the Rick Simpson procedure. And now I have no understanding of, you know, the marijuana as medicinal purpose. I don't do it. I don't smoke it. I let any, you know, not to say that I'm against anyone else who does. I'm just letting you know my you know, history. I have no real at all history with it. And so I was just told by someone who cured her own brain tumor from it. She said, try it. And obviously I did. Would you believe that it ate her tumor off of her in 2 weeks? Mike, listen, 2 weeks. We went back to the vet. And he called, you know, the vet tech calls me back. They're like, this, you know, doctor wants to talk to you. And he's like, what happened? He's like, is this the same dog? He's like, I'm being serious. I said, yes. And he's like, what happened to the mast cell tumor? You know,
it's amazing, like, isn't it? So you've witnessed it with your own eyes. I've not seen it with my own eyes, but I know Dr. Bob. He's a friend of mine. He's been at the heart of it for many, many years and using CBD, but dating back to the 80s, using CBD oil, you know, fighting the system to help bring it about. And he has shown me the evidence over the years of him, physical, just the amazing changes. And even if it didn't end in saving a life, ultimately, if it was too far, for even the miracle of that medicine to handle. Those people enjoyed much better end of life. Just amazing things. Maya, if you don't know about CBD, go find out. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it just hurts my heart to know that we have this potential cure, and we're not even legally allowed to explore it scientifically, because I learned that the government, has a patent on marijuana, and that's why vets can't talk about it and all this other stuff. So, but this is just one excellent example of how we're being regulated out of so many improvements and so much advancement.
That's true. Lindsay, thank you so much. We got to go. Thank you for your time. I will talk to you a little bit later.
Hey, thanks for having me. Bye, everybody.
Appreciate it. Take care. I'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Possibly.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2...
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Not new. They're not new at all. Ken's like, new jams. No, they're not new at all. That's the crazy part about it. They've been in the system all this time, and they just, for some reason, some cues weren't they were keeping them out. It was just replaying the same ones over and over again. And I wasn't sure if the other ones just didn't get into the system or not, but Mike got to snooping around in it this week, and he found that there were some missing cues, things like that. And so he went and cleaned it up. And so you shouldn't, we should get all that new music rolling through there. The only things that really are the same are the long beds at the end, because there's only just so many pieces of music, especially pop music, that are either instrumental or 2 minutes in length. And then the beginning of the show, the beginning of each hour, where we get the Metallica intro and all of that. It's running on an old system too. Interesting. Ah, well, all kinds of fun stuff going around. So we have the music beds that are in there, if all of them play, and Mike thinks they probably will, you know, it'll be about 3 weeks before you hear the same music again, generally speaking. We'll see if it goes that way or not. So far, it's awesome. I'm enjoying it. Again, I have to remember that I'm not just sitting here in my headphones listening to music and just kind of rocking along with all the new jams. TowardAnarchy.com. It's August 2nd. If you missed out on the conversation, we will have that one again. I will try to get Lindsay to come back and talk anytime that she's happy to do so, because wow, what a refreshing voice for sanity. Just in that simple sense of just getting it on a basic level when it comes to other people, when it comes to and this all follows. And this is what I mentioned this a little bit in the conversation with her about this emotional appeal that I'm finding that I end up making. I can do that here. I can do that with her. I can do that with you because you get it. You understand that. But then I also have to remember that you isn't just one individual person, whatever, that I have kind of generally pictured in my mind that I'm speaking to, that is, you know, the recommended way that you present yourself. You sort of picture an individual that you're talking to, helps keep your thoughts in line, keeps them sort of directed at that individual. And you get a lot of these things, but then you don't. And that's what I have to remember, is that the you that I'm talking to and really hear. And that's where it hit me this week when I sort of realized that. Sort of a sad thing to come to at this point in realization. It's not that I didn't know it. It's just that I wasn't being honest with myself in my doing it too, because I argue that people will not be honest in their conversation and their arguments with other people. And a lot of it is because of emotional appeals and appeals to authority. And I deal with the appeal to authority thing very well. It's really simple, that sort of voluntary existence. But then again, it's not how you have to explain it all the time. It should be simple. It should be core. It should be principle. And that was what was great about the conversation. So this is going to be one of those great ones for me personally, because it's a risk. Lindsay said so at the beginning of the show. I don't know her. I have no idea. I don't even know what she sounds like. I had no idea what her voice sounded like until the second she came on, even when it took us a second to find her. I just love this whole live thing and doing it this way. And I wouldn't give up. That obnoxious little short break in there that pinches our time it does what it does, but I wouldn't give up the overall radio presentation. I wouldn't necessarily want to go for the nonstop thing like the Joe Rogan will go for like 3 hours at a time sometimes, just sitting there yakking away about every little conversation. I don't know. I don't know if I would even want to attempt to do that, just sit there nonstop. I like the break in the conversation. It may not be a natural break, as it were, but it becomes one when you expect it, when you deal with it, when you work with it. You know that at the top of the hour, there's a top of the hour break, so everybody can figure out where they're at and what they're listening to. It's a universal thing in this profession, and just the shift of gears. The ability to get in and out of a topic without sort of fumbling around and looking for a place to send it unnaturally when you're trying to have a natural conversation with somebody you don't know. You understand how that could be? It was really, really, really refreshing. You've listened to some of these shows and you would get the impression sometimes that certain guests don't participate as much or as well as others. Other people talk better, speak better. They are able to pick up on the end of a conversation, the change in the voice that I have when I'm sort of passing the ball You know what I'm talking about? When I just stop talking and let them talking, it's usually, if it's not on a direct question, you'll notice my voice has, I've reached a point and I've come to the end of the point. And now it was somebody else's turn to talk. It's very natural for me. You might think that it's some sort of a presentation. I admit that I'm speaking into the microphone purposely and smiling purposely, but you have to, because if you don't, it doesn't carry across at all that you're passionate about what you're talking about. It becomes that NPR voice real quickly. But it's very natural for me in a natural conversation to speak exactly like I am now. The only difference in my speech is that I edit my speech. When I'm not on a microphone, I cuss like a sailor. Thank you, Mike, for the music. I really appreciate that. That was really awesome. And I will let you know. I need to send you a text so you have my number. I have a couple of things noted down here. Always like, share, follow, subscribe. Do that for me, please. We'll keep growing this thing. We'll figure out how to make a buck on it someday. Until then, it is what it is. It's medicine for my soul. Maybe hopefully a little bit for your own. We got to talk about this Garrett Foster thing. I hate to do it. I think I'm probably with the greater, you know, network audience right there in the great state of Texas, the country of Texas, the Republic of Texas. I think it must be, wow. What's it like? Is it 50-50 split? Is it weird there on this? Because if you don't know about the Garrett Foster death, he was at the protests, and he's a libertarian. He was carrying a rifle, and he had been for some number of days peacefully carrying a rifle during this protest, these ongoing protests. And it's in a place where you can open carry. It's in Texas. And he did, and other people do. And he was keeping it real. I don't know any other way to put it, because I'm trying to be real sensitive about the situation, because I get it that people are hurt by it, and I get that some people think one way about it and some people think another, and then of course there's my position, the one of reason. My position is this, is that everything went wrong long before that car came around the corner. So what happened is another person keeping it real. I'm a gun carrier. I'm also a tested protester. So I can speak to this, and I can speak to it personally from every single aspect. Car comes around the corner. Protest is right there. He tries to speed through it. I don't think he runs over anybody. Some people have made that argument, but I don't think I've seen that. I don't think there's any evidence of that. He didn't have to run over anybody after the bullets flew, because everybody scattered. He'd come around the corner, and the guy driving the car, Daniel Perry, he's a vet, PTSD, trained killer, keeping it real. It comes around the corner, confronts Garrett Foster, who has a rifle. It's unknown at this point if I don't think it's decided if he drew on him, if he was going to try to shoot at the car. He was just keeping it real. I'm such a dick. I'm sorry, but man, look, two jackasses decide to act accordingly, and somebody ends up dead. I don't feel sorry for anybody. This is what I'm getting at, okay? But I'm trying to do it with a little bit of respect for somebody who's dead, and a little bit of respect for a guy who's going to get run into the ground for being a gun carrier. They tried to say he was a cop, all this stuff. I do believe that they've settled on who it is, this Daniel Perry individual, and he's a vet with PTSD, but he's also one of these guys that's saying similar stuff as Garrett Foster about gun rights and about protesting and about clashing with people and about keeping it real. And that's that's what hit me is there's a certain moment that's talked about in other cultures. People of color talk about a certain moment. There's a comedian that talks about a certain moment. Well, this was a white version of one of those moments. Two brothers keeping it real. And so real that one of them is dead now. Neither of them deserves praise. And frankly, as a gun owner, I don't necessarily see either of them deserving of any negative response. If you respect the right of all people to defend themselves, to carry a gun, and you do, or you're listening to the wrong show, then you respect everyone's, and that includes the ones that train better than you. Even if they were trained by the state, they have the right to defend themselves. I don't think it was any more premeditated in either sense, other than, and this is, they're both guilty of this, going into this volatile situation armed. Doing something that I talk about all the time. I have to explain this to people. They say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You got a gun. That's exactly why I don't do that. You realize why I exercise force with my firearm on my side? Because I have the greater force and will win 9 times out of 10 any one-on-one confrontation. I know that. I carry the power in my pocket, and so I don't have to exercise it. Somebody was violating our landlord's property yesterday. I could have confronted him, but I did not. Took down his information. I gave it to the landlord. I said, it's your private property. Here's the violator. Do what you will. That's my position. I wouldn't call the cops on him because I wouldn't have that man die for the simple thing that he was doing. He was using our dumpster. It's a violation of my property, but moreover, it's a violation of my landlord's property. It's at our business, the comic book shop. And so I handed the information. I just took a picture. I could have confronted the guy. I pulled up right behind him as he was putting his trash into our dumpster, filling it up. Big bags, a truck full. And then he dumped a bunch of leaves off in the sort of forest area edge right there. I took pictures. I got his license plate. Give it up to the property owner. Let him decide. And then the police aren't going to show up at that moment and violate anybody. I had the upper hand. I could have held him at gunpoint if I wanted to until the police came there. There's so many things I could do because I had the power. He would have even no idea. No, nothing he could have done about it. Long before he knew what happened, within split second. And I don't even necessarily carry one in the chamber. Most of the time I don't carry one in the chamber, but you'd be surprised how quickly I can pull that thing and drop it. Oh, pretty. What's that? I hear you bumping around in there. Did you bump? He's good. Cocked and loaded. I practice. You would be amazed at how quickly. I carry the power, so I don't go around. I don't pick fights. And I literally, it's kind of the same thing with the mask thing. I get the argument. I wear this thing for your protection. This gives me the power to control me and say, all right, you have the upper hand. You don't have to say nothing back. You don't have to be. It doesn't always work. I can tell you that. I'm still quick to tell someone to go jump when they need to be told to go jump, when they're acting out of line. But I'm much less likely to do it knowing that I absolutely have an advantage over most people. You know, that Garrett Foster thing is kind of scary. You see the way I talk about it. Because people get all sorts of crazy as soon as it starts involving Second Amendment and when it starts involving, you know, killing people and why people kill and why it is that they got killed. I start stepping on some toes because it's not, and none of these people are friends to me. I don't have to be nice or kind to them, but I don't have to be mean to them either. But based on their own words, that whole, you know, they were just keeping it real. They were just keeping it real. Unfortunately, sometimes it gets too real and sometimes people make bad decisions. I've been one that I've been challenged in my life and I've never made the bad decision. It's cost me, but it wasn't the bad decision. I mean, I guess the bad decision, the one time it cost me, was that I actually should have pulled the trigger. That's the reality of that one. Somebody else did it for me a few years later. What do you know? And we'll be back to wrap this thing up on Toward Anarchy.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know.
Coming up on the show next week, as always with these things, barring any, whatever, any interference, anything that goes wrong, James Dunavant, the executive director of the Free Market Medical Association, will join me. We will have a conversation about free markets and economics and the medical association. it's one of these fantastic things that I'm so happy to be able to bring to you, because there are a lot of people that just don't simply realize that you can go out there, that there are people, places out there that actually operate on the free market when it comes to your health concerns and your health needs, your medical needs. They really are all over the place, and they have been. And it's interesting. I've watched them come and go in my time. Clinics were a thing that used to be all over the place. You used to be able to just simply walk into a place and get x-rays and shots and prescriptions and things like that for any of the main normal stuff that would bother you, ear infections and things. It's simple upkeep on yourself, and they were everywhere, and you could go to them and you pay them cash money. You didn't have to have insurance and things like that. If you did, you did, whatever, but they gave you cash prices. And then those things sort of faded away for a while as the big medical pharma industry took over. But they're like all of that grassroots. Everybody sees that failing, so they build these parallel systems while we watch these entrenched white capitalist ideas that have been hijacked by political and economic sabotage. We see them crumbling away. They create these parallel systems like the Free Market Medical Association that helps bring together all of these people that are working out there in that sense to bring true free medical care to people at the lowest possible prices, the best possible care. That's what the free market does. Then on the 16th, we'll do Death Wives. That's Aaron and Lauren. And Aaron is a friend of my wife's, a former employee of my wife's when she was a manager for another company that she worked for in Colorado, and Aaron worked under her, and they got along real well, and they've kept in touch all these years later. And she started this thing not long after with a partner of hers named Lauren, and we'll get into their details and talk about them when they're on the show. But they are death doulas, and they are helping people accept the reality of death, and even Christians, even people who believe in an afterlife, still will go out kicking and screaming because they're not being served mentally and physically by their worthless medical association. Thank God for the free market ones, and their lack of understanding and acceptance of finality in reality. So those are the things that are on the menu for the coming weeks. Hopefully, Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen. There's a story there. We'll see if I have to tell it or not, or if we can just get them on the show. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed. We'll be back next week right here on Toward Anarchy. Take care.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filtering filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.